quack, 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 quack,
welcome back to D5 The Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we discuss the 1996 Disney hockey sequel, D3 The Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, and let me bring on this week's all-star guest, Tim Nidell from the Saturday Morning Rewind podcast. Tim, welcome back for the third movie.
What's up, buddy? Yeah, and I must say that I've never seen this movie before. I don't know why I never caught it. I don't know if I was too old. I mean, I was 16 when it came out, but...
You know what? You're not the only one. You're literally. I feel like half the people that come on this season come on because they're friends of mine and have never seen this movie.
Good. I'm not the only one.
No, don't feel bad about it. It's happened a lot this season. But since you've never seen it, when you saw it for this, what do you think?
It was good. It was good. I really wish I would have watched it when I was 16, because I think I would have dug it a lot more. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I was definitely the age range when this movie came out. So, it was in 96. So I was in freshman year, which is actually the year they're in this movie.
Oh, perfect, perfect.
I was right in the age range of this movie. So
yeah, you would have been. So I guess I would have been almost. I guess I would have been a sophomore.
You're a sophomore, junior. Yeah. Because this is October, so maybe junior, something like that.
Junior, maybe junior. Yeah, probably a junior.
I think we're two years apart. So yeah, something like that. So that makes sense. So. Let's actually get into our minutes here, because we were coming in after the Blake game, which was a weird hockey game to begin with, which we spent a lot of time talking about the last couple of episodes. And we also get to see the place where Charlie's mom works, which is a very rare location that we see. We only see this for like maybe 3 minutes of the entire movie, which I honestly thought for a 30th movie, this is going to be like a location we come back to a lot, like a hangout place or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It never comes back.
Nope. Maybe the new series that comes out, maybe they'll go back.
One can hope. One can hope. So now, so you caught us right in the middle of the prank war. So you caught us right in the middle of this prank war. What do you think of the prank war coming into this scene? Because I'm under the impression the Ducks are winning this prank war. So,
yeah, from what we see during these minutes, I think for sure. My first question to you is, Letterman jackets, was that a huge thing at your high school? Because I remember a couple kids wearing them, but I don't think too many of them did.
I still have mine. So okay. I still have my football one. It was a big deal if you're a senior.
Like, it was, but I don't ever remember too many seniors in my class. I don't know. I
grew up in a small town.
So did I.
I grew up in a very small town, but sports were a big deal in my school. Mm-hmm. So the wear the jacket in Garfield High School was like kind of a respect thing. And people respect you because you're one of those athletes. And I got my senior year and I wore it every day.
Yeah.
So, like, I was one of those people,
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's because everybody I went to high school with that was in football, they really weren't jerks, at least not to me, at least. So maybe they just didn't stand out. I don't know.
It wasn't a jerk. Like, our senior class, and I brought this up in other episodes, we decided to break the mold and not be assholes to the freshmen on purpose because we were praying, we were messed with. So we decided not to be like that. So... But no, I still have my Letterman jacket. And like the big deal would be like you have your girlfriend wear your Letterman jacket when you're playing. That was like a big deal. Or wore your jersey or something like that. The only difference is my girlfriend was in the band. So I really didn't have that, you know? But like, that was the big deal. So like, yeah. I don't know. That's why the Letterman jacket to me was a big deal. So
it makes sense. I guess I never played football as a kid, except for Pee Wee. Never played in high school. They wanted me to, but I just never did.
I know that because the weird thing is like if a girl on the sideline wore your jersey, they're assuming it's your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't have a girlfriend to the end of my junior year. and I was my girlfriend through the rest of high school. But like I had close female friends, close friends. And one of my female friends asked if she could wear my jersey to a game. I had a spare jersey, obviously. I had two jerseys. She said, can I wear your jersey to the game? I'm like, I don't care. And I tossed her my jersey before the game. And I got so much shit in the locker room. Your girlfriend, like, she's not my girlfriend. We're friends. We're just friends. She just asked to wear the jersey. It was that big of a deal.
But in her eyes, she was interested. I guarantee it.
Yeah, really. We were just friends. We ended up just being friends.
Sure.
Yeah, we were actually, for real, we were not friends. She was actually interested in my best friend.
No, she was using you then to get to your best friend. That's what it was. Okay, I knew there's a reason.
Yeah, she was interested in my best friend, and they dated for a little bit. But, like, no, she was definitely not interested in me. No, definitely not. But I have to say, I really, watching this back, I wish that this wasn't a prank and this was a real thing that the students did. bought the dinner for the freshman.
When I was watching the scene, I also have a feeling the restaurant was in on it because they're the ones that made the cake. They're the ones that probably spelled it out. You're paying for our dinner or whatever they said. And they seem to be in on it, I think.
Yeah, we'll definitely get there. I want to talk about that when we get there. I want to know, Banks obviously not in on this. And all they told Banks was, we're buying them dinner. That's all they told Banks. And Banks is gullible to believe that. You know? We'll get to that in a minute. I still don't understand how Banks does not know what's going on.
Yeah.
So let's get to this place. They mentioned, I actually was trying to figure out where they were. And they mentioned the Minnesota Club. And I figured, because the only location that they go to in this movie that is actually not a real location is ironically the school they go to. That's it. Everything else in this movie is real. Everything. And including the Blake University College, the high school they played. That's a real school. Like, everything real. So I'm like, this can't be a real place. Well, I found it. This is the Minnesota Club. It's still in Minneapolis to this day. It is on 2nd Avenue. And it's actually, I looked at the location, it actually says the Minneapolis Club is the place in the region for networking, an active social atmosphere, building key relationships, advancing your career, and enjoying exceptional service. They are a 5-star platinum restaurant.
Interesting. I've never heard a restaurant described that way.
Yes, this is off their website. It's straight off their website.
Wow, they think highly upon themselves, that's for sure.
Yeah, that came straight off their website. So, and obviously when I found the notes, they were closed for COVID, but who knows?
Yeah.
They might be open. Who knows? I do appreciate this scene. And I love the fact that for some reason, everybody has dress clothes. Everybody does. We only see them dressed up here and at the funeral scene later. We see them in dress clothes. So I'm sorry. I didn't have dress clothes at 14.
Not that looked like that. No, that's for sure. No,
definitely not.
I had my jeans and I had a button-up shirt. That's probably about it.
Yeah, I may have had dress pants knowing my parents.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Like, the only reason I would have dress clothes at all because the parents made sure I had at least one outfit in my closet.
I probably had khakis. That's probably the closest thing I had.
Yeah, but like, outfits like they're wearing here is insane. Like, and I get like the varsity squad having nice clothes because they have the money.
Uh-huh.
They're rich. And that's been made very, very clear. But why do the Ducks have outfits like this? Like, I didn't want to tie.
They're getting paid under the table.
There you go.
For these games. That's what it is.
Yeah, I did not have a tie. Like,
I did have a tie, but it was Looney Tunes.
Oh, perfect. That fits you perfectly. That fits you perfectly, man.
It does.
You were living the gimmick before it was a gimmick. Very nicely done. So I do appreciate Dwayne not having a clue the silverware thing. The silverware.
Yep,
thing.
I've been there. I've been there.
Makes me laugh so hard, and I know this puzzled me. Like, huh? I think it was the first time I was at a fancy getup like this for sort of like my grandparents' anniversary. They did like a 50th anniversary party, and I remember being at the table like, what's with all the silverware?
How old were you then?
I want to say early 90s, so a few years before the movie.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have known. No. I didn't know at that age either, but in high school, around the time this movie came out, I think, we had a etiquette class. What? I don't know why. I think it may have been part of our home ec class, probably. And I remember we talked through the etiquettes of eating at a proper restaurant with the many plates, many silverware, how to place your silverware on the plate when you're done eating so the server knows you're done eating. What? You're supposed to put it in an X shape, by the way.
What?
To say that you're done eating.
So, you know, I remember saying a high school story for later, but I gotta bring this up because you're talking about weird things you did. Me and my ex-girlfriend are still friends now. We're still really close friends now. And we talk all the time. And we actually just reminisced about this recently. For some reason, remember in the late 90s, swing music was back?
I do, actually, yeah.
No real reason whatsoever.
Swing music was back for no reason. The scroll net zippers came out and other bands like
that. The orchestra and the Cherry Hop Daddies and all that was a thing. Well, my junior prom, they decided we're going to swing dance. And they did after-school swing dance lessons for 3 weeks.
Nice.
We did, and I don't remember a damn thing. I don't remember anything because me and my girlfriend were not exactly small people. We're both big people, so it's not like I could pick her up or anything. Like, it was really random and weird. Like, so bizarre.
We had to do line, like country line dancing in middle school when I lived in Reno. I was like, why are we doing this? We're not even in the South. We don't listen to country music in Reno. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's so random and weird. Yeah, the swing dancing phase was strange. That's strange.
It was.
In the 90s, for no reason, there was swing dancing. So, because this is the kind of movie my minute host I am, I decided to look up and I found the actual official setup of silverware for a fancy restaurant.
Oh.
I have a graphic on my screen here, and it is left to right, and it says salad fork, dinner fork, dessert fork. And then there's a butter knife on the top of this table, which I don't know why it's all the way up there by the bread and butter plate. The fact that they have a butter plate scares the crap out of me. It's weird.
All I remember is the scene in Titanic when Leo's there at the fancy dinner. He doesn't know what to do with the silverware.
Yes.
And so what's her name is like, oh, just go with the order of the item you're eating. Yes. Like, the first thing you eat is going to be the first fork you use.
That's a good point, actually. I forgot about that. It's very true. And I do love how they have the napkin in this picture all wrapped up nicely tight. And then the dinner plate. And then we have the dinner knife, which, of course, is different from the butter knife. Two different knives, the teaspoon and the soup spoon. Mm. And then we also have three glasses, which is the water goblet, not water glass, water goblet.
Goblet, wow.
And then we have red wine and white wine.
I haven't heard it called a goblet since I went to medieval times.
Yeah, so there you go. That was an official graphic that I found. Like, the fact that I found a graphic that terrifies me. That was a graphic I found. So... Yeah. So I do like for like a brief moment in this movie that they all got along. Like, they all get along.
For a very brief moment, yeah.
They're all having this really fun conversation. They're all talking hockey. They're all talking like food and getting to know each other. And the only problem about this is that Charlie starts giving away his tips for the Chick-fil-A Deke, which is not something you should ever do with somebody you're playing in the future. It's something you should do, but... whatever. And then we continue the strange storyline with Goldberg and Julie. Goldberg trying to get her to eat more, which, again, does not date well at all.
No, it doesn't.
Then we have the speech, and it's such a great speech for a really weird turn of events. Like, great speech. But it doesn't end well because they have this awesome speech saying future champions for champions, future champions. and talk about Banks being on their team now. And this is where we finally get another setup for the freshman varsity showdown, which is like randomly brought up at random times in this movie just to set up the ending.
Yep. It's like, oh, by the way, in case you didn't remember, this is what we're gonna do.
Yeah, and we're gonna mention this right here. So this is the point where you see Banks get up, and now Banks knows what's going on. My only problem here: why didn't Banks say something to somebody if at this point he knew what was going on?
Yeah.
Why didn't he say anything? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Like, if he didn't know before he got up, fine. But you can see in his face, he knows.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yep, you do.
He overheard in the bathroom somebody give out a cake. And even then, I remember watching this in the movie theater, not expecting this. Not expecting this twist. Yes, I swear my dad took me to see it in the movie theater, by the way. So, And it was a full crowd in the movie theater for this. Nice. I had a great experience watching this movie. But the cake comes out. And one of the more hilarious scenes, it says, "Thanks for dinner, losers."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love the candles, though. where do they get those candles from? Like, why do we have firecracker candles?
Because that's the place you go to network and, you know, advance your career. So, of course, they have those candles.
So, we got a check. And this check is ridiculous.
$857.
By the way, I love the fact that it's exactly $857.
I know. I thought the same thing. There's no change. Just $857.
No. And what's funny, I haven't zoomed in on my screen. I'm trying to see if I can read this clearly. It's cut up as I possibly can for the fact that they're not expecting people to read this. But, like, at one point, it does say, like, 27 stakes. what the hell are you doing? It's such a ridiculous thing we did here. But $857, exactly. I would love to see this menu to see. There's no tax. There's no tax.
No tax at all.
Tips, no, nothing. Like, nothing. Just
$57. How many steaks did you say they had?
27.
47?
27 steaks.
27, okay. And then so, yeah, that's about right. That comes at $32, just about.
Yeah, so
with drinks and everything. And,
and all the other food and salads and
everything
else, and breads and all the other stuff on this table. But actually, here we go. I got a better clue. Here we go. I got a better shot here on the Disney Plus screen. 15 lobster.
Oh my gosh. No, they're wrong in that price then. There's no way that came to $857 for lobster and steak. Well,
it says 15 lobster, $210. two lamb, $44. Eight crab, $160. Seven prime rib, $135. ten au gratin potatoes, $42. 50 rice, $30. 10 vegetable, $30. 10 Caesar salads, $45. 10 mixed greens, $45. 8 fruit salad, $45. my third little favorite part here. 15.
You know it was the ducks that ordered the fruit salad.
My God, 15 iced teas, $27. And my favorite part of this, 17 milks.
Milks. Who gets milk at a steakhouse?
No. 17 milks. Here, $13. And then 14 orange juice, $26.
Man, I'm drinking the wrong stuff when I go to fancy stick places.
Oh, and then one cake, $85.
Yeah, I think that bill would have been much higher nowadays with inflation and everything.
Yeah, well, I love how the cake is $85.
I know.
What an expensive cake. What an expensive cake. Cobra. Okay, so this is so unreal. Okay, this doesn't make any sense to me. Why did they put the work? Like, why did they put the work? It doesn't make sense. Isn't it all joke from, like, the old, like, were these guys fans of, like, old school commies? Like, back on, like, the black and white days, like, I Love Lucy, or, like, even going further ahead to, like, Laverne and Shirley, or I think this Jack feels like. Does it not feel like a
yeah.
Jack?
I know. Yeah.
It feels like something you would see when they were like brainstorming WandaVision. Like, what is this here? It's such a weird gag. Oh. And one would think that Dwayne would know how to do dishes, by the way. By the way, though, who got the short straw? How did Connie get the short straw to be with Goldberg in the bathroom?
Yeah, seriously.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I wouldn't trust kids to do my dishes and clean stuff in my fancy restaurant.
Absolutely not. By the way, because every single time either Averman or Russ is on the screen, they're stealing a scene for me every single solitary time. So I'm concentrating on Averman because Averman and Charlie are having a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Russ is in the background. He has an apron on, but he's wearing a jacket. He's wearing a nice jacket. Why did you keep your jacket on? I don't understand this at all. This is where I do like the logic of physics. Every action requires an equal or equal, if not bigger, reaction. I do love that logic.
Mm-hmm.
But we're back to my running gag for this entire movie. Absolutely nobody. Russ, but don't mess up my scholarship. Been a joke all movie. Russ is obsessed with this scholarship. They're all on scholarship. I think I've said that this entire season. They're all on scholarship, Russ. Stop it.
No.
Stop it, Russ. So then we cut to the beginning of this and the hysterical. We were in a cross between Mission Impossible.
Yep.
And the Mighty Ducks. What is happening here, Tim? What's going on?
Well, we don't see too much of the scene, do we?
No, we're going to have about a minute and 15 seconds, which is a lot. But they're setting up the wall.
They're tying up the doorknobs and just sneaking around the halls.
With the tubes and...
Mm-hmm.
And Averman's trying to take a sticker off the door, which is an Averman thing to do. Some people are wearing hats, some people are not.
Oh, they don't care if they get noticed. They don't care.
Oh, Julie's probably the one to mess up her hair.
That's true.
Julie has really pretty hair. She didn't want to mess it up.
Yep. I wouldn't want to mess my hair up if I had hair.
And I don't even know if Fulton's in there, but Fulton's wearing his bandana.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. It's his look. And then we have Guy and Connie outside on watch, which they're the only couple that survived all three movies. Like, they've been together since the end of the first movie. And Averman getting stepped on and his glasses almost break. Which, again, I'd love to know if that was in the script and that was like, how about we do this? Do this joke for no reason whatsoever. So after we continue our weird prank war as we continue on here. We have to get to the ants.
Oh yeah, the ants. I was going to bring that up too.
Yeah, let's talk about the ants. The Brazilian fire ants that we talked about earlier in this run, they do pay them off here. This is the joke where he goes and says, do you think he's going to notice them missing? I don't think that he keeps the head count, Charlie.
I wanted to finish off, since we do end right there, with a funny ant story from when I was a kid.
Go for it.
I was probably about 9, 10-ish, and we had an ant farm when my brother and I, my brother would have been 10 or 11. And one day my mom goes into our bedroom, comes out with this huge bag of the ant sand. I mean, this is gigantic ant sand in a bag. She comes out all mad at us. Where did you guys get this? This is bad. She thought it was cocaine.
What? Are you kidding me?
So I didn't say it at the time because I wouldn't have known this, but now I would say, Mom, do you know how much that would cost me if that was cocaine?
Like, why? But how would you know that if you didn't know what cocaine is at that age?
It was hilarious. Yeah, we were innocent. I was at least 9. Yes.
That's so funny. I would never have a clue. I would not have a clue what cocaine.
No, I wouldn't know what that was. No. I still make fun of her.
That's fantastic. That's so funny. I will throw out. I have to bring this joke up. Every time I see ants anywhere, it automatically think of Garfield and Friends.
Uh-huh.
and I think of the we're the ants that eat your dinner.
Yeah.
Secret from Garfield and Friends.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Always popped into my head. It's one of my favorite sequences in that show. One of my favorite sequences.
Oh, that's a good cartoon.
I missed that. I love that. The original Garfield and Friends. The original. Oh,
for sure.
Love that so much. So, but I will we'll continue talking about ants and talking fire ants and weird random stuff going on in the sequence next week with Niall McGowan from That Minute. Before we wrap up here, we've been talking stories. But our story, our question I've been asking all the guests this season, it is what is your craziest or funniest high school story, Tim?
My craziest what?
Craziest or funniest high school story.
High school story. Oh, man. I got to think about this. You can edit this out, I guess. I got to think about it. I didn't really do anything super crazy until after high school, so I don't. I was a nerd first 2 years of high school, and then I became one of the cool kids because they adopted me, and I grew a couple feet.
Ah, puberty.
Man, I don't. I guess. I mean, it's not hilarious or funny or anything. It's just that I was the kid nobody thought would do anything bad. You know, goody two shoes. And so they announced, it was my junior year, and they announced if anybody skipped on senior skip day, that you would fail that class or something like that. And you had to have a doctor's note if you missed that day. And I skipped. I skipped all the time. They just didn't know I skipped all the time.
Yeah.
And I skipped on senior skip day, and they're calling every kid who skipped one at a time into the principal's office. And I go into the principal's office, and he's like, Tim, I know you didn't skip. You can go back to your, go back to your class. So I got away with it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, shit. I did not see that coming. That's fantastic. That's great. See, I senior cut day. See, okay, my senior cut day, it was the one time I got one of my friends who was a good two cut school. It was the time, and we ended up at my girlfriend's drinking most of the day. It was the first time I ever got drunk with senior cut day.
Oh, wow.
I ever really got drunk because I never really drank. I wasn't a big drinker.
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend and her best friend, we decided to get drunk. And the thing was, a small town again, everyone's in walking distance, which. Yeah. As someone that grew up in a small town, I can get drunk and walk home.
Yep.
That's what the best part was about my small town. Like, when I got older, all my friends are in walking distance. So it wasn't a big deal to go out drinking. My parents always knew I was in town. So it wasn't that big of a deal. So the one time I cut school that was never caught, was actually the day that me and my girlfriend figured out that we liked each other. Literally, we figured out we liked each other, and one of our friends kind of got us to be together alone, and we realized we liked each other, and that's actually when we started dating.
Nice.
It was cool together. So that's like, it was cool.
Look at that.
One of those cool things. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Now, what sucked about my true senior skip day when I was a true senior, me and my friends couldn't even skip that day because we already skipped throughout the school year, and if we would have missed one more school day, would have been held back.
Oh, no.
I remember the four or five of us, the only ones in the classroom on senior skip day.
Wow. That's crazy. That sounds like, didn't they do that joke in like Saved by the Bell? Where like Zach was allowed to skip?
Yep. He had to go to the beach. Yep, I remember that one.
Yeah, it sounds like a joke in Saved by the Bell.
It's just like that, yeah.
That is great, though. That's really funny. No, as I talked about a couple episodes ago with Sal, who and him went to the same school, mm-hmm. my senior class got away with a lot more than his senior class 2 years later. So, you know, it was a whole lot more in my school. So, go back to that episode, people. You can hear us literally go back and forth about Garfield High School and what we dealt with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a fun show. For those who are here because Tim's here and you want to hear that conversation, go back to episodes and listen to Sal and me talk about that. So, that being said, let's wrap this up. First of all, D5 the Mighty Ducks, you're here. Maybe you're here because Tim is on the show and he and his plug brought you here. Well, I've been here for 3 seasons. We've been doing this for 3 years. We're in the middle of the third season, final season. But we're going to be here for a while. So subscribe, rate, and review. Maybe go pick up a t-shirt. Go pick up the D5.
That is a good looking t-shirt too.
Really cool t-shirt that I'm wearing. And as a matter of fact, you don't see it in the video, but like there's like ice particles around the logo.
Oh, cool.
Which is really cool. So it's best on Heather Gray. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, you pick up the t-shirt and you can follow the show on all podcasting platforms. After all, Spotify today. Spotify. Go subscribe to Spotify and listen to us there. Tim, get your plugs in. Go.
All right. You guys can follow me and listen to my other show, Saturday Morning Rewind. I do celebrity interviews with voice actors, mainly from the 80s and 90s when I was growing up. Find me online, SaturdayMorningRewind.com. The podcast is pretty much everywhere you find podcasts. I also have a personal website, TimNeidel.com, because I do YouTube videos. I try to at least do one video a week. So if you don't go to the website, you can go to YouTube. Just type in Tim Neidel and you will find me.
Awesome. And of course, you can hear me at the Blake and Sal Show every single Friday, a couple hours after this show drops. Go listen to me over there. We have a good time talking about sports and wrestling and entertainment stuff. You never quite know what we're going to talk about every single week. I don't even know what we're going to talk about every week. I'm going to bring the run sheet up. So who knows what's going on. But I will proudly say, and I've been saying this entire run, we did not miss a week during the pandemic. So I'm very proud to say there that to this day. Let's get out of here. Like I said, next week, Niall McGowan from That Minute will be here to continue on with this movie. And it'll be a fun time. I do love talking to Niall because I never quite know where the conversation is going to go. I love talking to Niall. So expect a long show next week, guys. But Tim, thank you so much for coming on and thank you for completing the trilogy.
Absolutely. Glad I did it.
Yes, I appreciate it. And thank you all for listening and I will see you all next week. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.